Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
And welcome into this week's Dublin to Denver with me, Colm Cronin, and I am delighted to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Stuart. Stuart, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well, Colm. I'm doing very, very well. I realised I was listening to our pod the day after it came out, not in a desperate attempt to boost the listenership. I didn't have it on repeat or anything. And I realised for the second week in a row, Colm, we have been the harbingers of massive NFL news, both league-wide and also Broncos-wide. So I think it was 2 weeks ago we recorded just before Justin Simmons was released. And then I think, was it last week we recorded just before the Vikings made their trade, which effectively, barring something really unforeseen, effectively is going to get them JJ McCarthy. And also, we recorded just before Justin Fields was traded to Pittsburgh, of all places. And now the Steelers, who have had decades, in fairness, in the opposite of the Broncos, they've always been able to kind of sort of stay relevant, and they've been okay. They are now faced with the QB battle from hell in the offseason. I know they've been saying it's Russell's team, and Fields is there to back up and learn for a year or two. But as we've seen from Russell Cole, it won't take long if Russell is the same Russ. If he's cooking the same recipe of God knows what it was we had to try to stomach in the last 2 years, Justin Fields, the clamor will start around week two or three. So, so basically something significant is going to happen in the next 24 to 48 hours in the NFL. But the mere fact that we are recording this on the day that we are recording, so watch this space.
I thought Stuart Pop was very interesting in relation to Russ, and then in what has happened since is how he still needs the ego fluffed, because since the Fields trade was made, we have heard, I mean, non-stop from just about anyone and with any sort of connection to the Steelers saying, no, Russ is a starter. Russ is absolutely a starter. Definitely 100% promise Russ is the starter. And not only that, we have also seen the leaks. I'm sure you've probably seen them because they've been everywhere, about how they are planning on giving him a long-term contract at the end of the season. And to me, this is part of the issue, I think, with Russ, because I think they feel they have to do that. They have to fluff the ego. He requires that. And that to me tells me all I need to know, that nothing is changing. And I think ultimately they would be better off running with Justin Fields. It's Justin Fields thing is very likely for them 1 year, because I don't think they'll pick up the fifth year option. Not immediately anyway. So we'll see what happens with Fields there. But again, when any story comes out in the sports media, in any media, ask where it's coming from, why it's being put out there, why all these people are suddenly being given the information at that particular time. Now, with that said, when you mentioned something very interesting there, obviously the Vikings made the trade and have gone up and gotten themselves, ammunition if they wish to go up. I was listening to the Ringer podcast the other day, and something what was mentioned at, in passing, but that it, I want to see what your thoughts on it are. They mentioned that, you know, how the Broncos haven't gone out, obviously, and gotten a QB like a Sam Darnold or anyone like that. They're rolling with Stidham. And they were saying about Sean Payton that Sean Payton, you know, must have some sort of plan. And there was talk that kind of began at the combine that the Cardinals, who everyone kind of saw as going for Marvin Harrison Jr., might not be completely sold on Marvin as a must-take project, like that he is not a Myles Garrett in their minds, right? This is the talk, and that the Cardinals, therefore, might be open to trade down, and that the Cardinals would much prefer to do that with an AFC team rather than an NFC team. And so while the Vikings may be willing to go and the Chargers might do the trade, the Cardinals could bat their eyelids at the Broncos and say, hey, you can get up to number four, get ahead of the Vikings and take JJ McCarthy. How would you feel, I suppose, about the Broncos? Because that's going to mortgage the future again. But how would you feel if the Broncos were to go up to the number four spot? Because you are giving away future picks once again. But that talk is out there. It's idle speculation, Stuart, but I suppose just to get your take on that.
I also read something recently, Colm, that spoke about the fact that Sean Payton was very high on Pat Mahomes when he was in the New Orleans Saints, and apparently they had a deal in place, but then they were undercut at the last minute, and that really rankled with Sean Payton because he was convinced that Mahomes was his guy. The reason I bring that up is because I think it plays into the fact that if Sean Payton has really fixated upon a quarterback in this draft class that isn't Caleb Williams, it would make sense then that he would, presumably with organizational backing, do everything in his power to get up to try and to nab the guy that he has considers to be the one to take the franchise forward. The Chiefs gave up stuff. I don't know the exact ins and outs of the trade. They gave up something for Pat Mahomes, yeah, presumably to trade up, Colm. I can't remember what it was. I doubt very much that they have any issues with what they gave up to get him. Obviously, I'm not saying that JJ McCarthy is the next Pat Mahomes. You know, there is an element of a crapshoot about the whole thing. I think there probably is a little bit of merit to that report for the simple reason that the Cardinals are a really dreadfully run organization, and they have been, apart from the occasional flirt with the playoffs, they're sort of perennial cellar dwellers, and there's probably a reason for that. So to pass up on Marvin Harrison, who somebody recently said was the best wide receiver prospect they'd seen since Calvin Johnson came out of college, would it be exactly the kind of thing that the Cardinals probably would do? Because it would be boneheaded, and they've got a history of doing stuff like that. I'm not sure, Colm. I guess, if it is Stidham, or if we draft whoever, Bo Nix or Penix, whoever it is, and we decide to roll with the rookie, which is the way to do it, the problem with giving up the future is, Colm, you're going to be giving up a really high draft pick next year. Like, we're talking almost certainly top five, top eight, which we ironically could have had this year if we hadn't won a few games that we shouldn't have won. So there is that to be weighed up. But the other side of it is, if this is the guy that you think is the quarterback of the future, then there's no point in hanging around. we've discussed this already on the podcast, next year's QB class is in no way similar in quality to this year's. So if this is the year to get a quarterback, then go and do it. You know, I do think you can. One of the things, Colin, is there's such a gap now between the draft and the start of free agency. I think you can kind of convince yourself or be convinced by different arguments depending on the week in question. Like last week, before the Vikings made their move, I would have thought we were still within a shout of getting up if we needed to. I didn't think we were going to need to sell the farm. And the way things are going now, it is highly likely, Colin, that the first four picks are going to be quarterbacks, which is, you know, it's incredible. But I do think it sort of speaks to the fact that the NFL is absolutely a QB's league. It, you know, previously has been, I suppose, as well. In the past, this is not anything new, but it's becoming really apparent. And also, I think teams now, Colin, you've mentioned this previously, teams are keen to get that rookie QB, on get him on that rookie contract, because then they can fill the team around him before he gets his first significant contract. That's been a way that teams have seen is a recipe for success in the league. So I would be okay with it, but with a couple of asterisks alongside it. Do I see it happening? Probably not. So I would be open to it, because I do think the first four quarterbacks are all quarterbacks that I could see flourishing under Sean Payton. I don't think you're getting Caleb Williams. I doubt very much you're getting Jaden Daniels. Seems to be a couple of knocks on Drake May recently, Colin, which I'm frankly surprised by, because I've seen Drake May a couple of times this season. I thought he was a superb quarterback in a not particularly good UNC team. And I thought he was performing miracles. So to me, there was a lot of Justin Herbert around Drake May. And as we know, Justin Herbert is somebody that we've had to contend with and has hurt us. We'll see how Justin does now next year with the paucity of weapons that he has to work with. I'm sure they'll do something about that. I'd say the Chargers would be absolutely delighted if the Cardinals passed on Marvin Harrison Jr., Colin, because then they'd be in a prime position to go and get him. And then we would have a decade of Marvin Harrison Jr. to deal with, which is, you know, a wonderful proposition. But yeah, I guess we're going to be getting this stuff in the next couple of weeks, Colin. I as I said, I'm okay with staying where we are, maybe even trading back a little bit. I still think, Colin, the likeliest scenario for me is we trade back to, say, 1920, pick up Bo Nix and hopefully get a second rounder and give him something to play with in that second round. That's what I think is the most likely scenario. Now, having said that, given our recent history, tomorrow morning the Broncos will absolutely blow everyone out of the water with this massive blockbuster trade to go up to get the fourth pick from the Arizona Cardinals. You watch.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, as you said, given what's happened after we've recorded. But I think there has to be something.
Put the house on an air call. Oh, go ahead to Paddy Paris and see. But get it on, you get great odds. It's happening.
I think Sean Payton at 60 has to have some plan, or at least that's what I hope. The other piece, Stuart, that I wanted to ask you about, because there's been some discussion on social media in the last 24 hours around this, is Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers. 49ers are shopping Ayuk. Essentially, apparently they said to the Jaguars they wanted pick 17 and they wanted Zay Jones. The Jaguars said no, ultimately. Which I guess surprises me, given where the Jaguars are at, because the Jaguars have a QB. They are looking to kind of be in win-now mode. It hadn't worked out with Calvin Ridley. But there has been some discussion about whether the Broncos should look to make a deal with the 49ers to take Ayuk, essentially for pick 12. So what would your feelings on that be, given that you would immediately have to extend Brandon Ayuk?
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by Bai. It's Wonder Water. What makes Bai so great? It's simple. From Raspberry Lemon Lime by Sydney Sweeney to Zambia Bing Cherry and Palavo Pineapple Mango. Baya has antioxidants, electrolytes, and no artificial sweeteners. So for flavorful hydration, choose Baya. It's Wonder Water. Learn more about Baya and discover all of the exotic, bold flavors at drinkbaya.com.
We are classified as a PG podcast, Colm, despite the occasional lapse from myself. My thoughts on if we give up the 12th pick for Brandon Ayuk is not suitable for family consumption, were we to do something like that. What you could not in your wildest dreams justify doing something like that as the Broncos stand right now, Colm, because effectively you're giving up any opportunity at a quarterback this year. So who's throwing the ball? Stidham? I mean, that would be, I'd like to say it'd be surprising, but it wouldn't be, considering the way the franchise has gone. I think it's not the worst idea I've ever heard for the Jaguars to give up the 17 pick to get him, because, you know, you're getting a known quantity, you're getting an extremely dangerous player, and you've already got the quarterback in situ there. So that to me, if I was a Jags fan, I would go, yeah, I'd be okay with that, because, you know, pick 17, you know, all picks in the NFL, Colm, there's no guarantees in the draft. Pick 17 could be a wash, you never know. But for the Broncos, that would be just, you know, I'm not even sure if an Irish poet has written a line that would do that justice, as far as I'm concerned. So let's just hope that that was one of those, sort of wet Tuesday in Denver, slow news day. Let's just throw something out there to get the clicks, because that would be horrible. That would be a horrible, horrible decision.
I think to me it would be for the Broncos, right? Not because I think Brandon Ayuk isn't a decent player, and I think that's what we're absolutely agreed on. I suppose my thing on it is essentially, you're accepting if you do that the QB play in like Denver will be terrible next year. And the issue is you're paying big money to Ayuk for nothing. You know, chances are, we are not, this is not a Texans-like situation where we have the ammo to, you know, take two blue chip players early on and kind of have everything around. And again, the Texans, when CJ Stroud came in, they had, they didn't have superstars there, apart from Laramie Tunsil, perhaps, on the O-line, realistically. But a lot of their talented players were the younger players, Derek Stingley Jr., Nico Collins, Tank Dell. They've given out a couple of big contracts this year because they're now in, I think their Super Bowl window is open realistically, given what we saw last year. I mean, it wasn't like the Ravens beat the brakes off them in the playoffs. So to me, I think it doesn't make sense, because if you don't solve the QB situation this year, you know, you're paying out for a year. And I think, again, I go back to it, I mentioned it last week, the only way I see you solving the QB situation next year is Dak. And Dak is going to require a massive contract. I'm not that I want the Dak thing to happen, but to me it makes some sense in that you're not giving up draft capital to do it. There's some wild speculation that if the Jaguars have a bad year, or if the Chargers have a bad year, Justin Herbert or Trevor Lawrence might be available for trade. I just don't see that. I think Harbaugh coming in, it won't change. Like, Justin Herbert is a fantastic quarterback. You move off. I actually think, to be honest, they're moving off of Mike Williams. Strengthens them. I think he's massively overrated. That's just my feeling. Guys had one game against the Broncos where he said got over 100 yards. If you can't get 100 yards against the Broncos over the last decade or so on a frequent basis, that's I think a little bit. I was just never worried by him. Keenan Allen, yeah, he's talented, but Keenan Allen is getting up there in age. He's 31. If I was the Chargers, I'd have probably moved off their pass rushes as well. But that's me. I think it's a pipe dream to think Justin Herbert or Trevor Lawrence would be available. Dak, I think the Cowboys will try and get it done. It's a possibility, a slim, perhaps 5% that he may be there. But to me, I suppose, like, ultimately, if you don't have the quarterback, 99% of the time, you're not there. Like, for the 49ers, yeah, it worked out in them because every other piece, and they ended up with Brock Purdy, who is a decent QB, and they're paying pittance to him. But for, other teams have tried that. The Broncos have tried that. If you don't have the quarterback, forget about it. And you're in a division with Mahomes. Like, we might not like it, but Patrick Mahomes has more Super Bowl rings than John Elway. Like, this is, you are competing with one of the very best to ever play the sport. You're also competing with one of the best head coaches. Steve Spagnuolo has signed the contract extension there. He's not going anywhere. So their head coach, their QB, and their defensive coordinator, their extremely talented and gifted defensive coordinator, are not going anywhere. You're not getting by nickel and diming this. You know, not that you're going to find the next Mahomes, but you have to get a QB who works well in your head coach's scheme, and that you can build around him for there. I think the 49ers had everything going into that Super Bowl. They had played so well throughout the season. The playoffs kind of showed you, I think, what happens. If you don't have a superstar in the playoffs, they struggled a little bit. They got by, and they played well in the Super Bowl, but ultimately, when it came down to it, it was Patrick Mahomes who got it done. So that's those were the two pieces that I was kind of interested in chatting to you this week in relation to the bits that are the speculation that is out there, and to see what your reaction might be. What has caught your eye this week?
Well, I realized I was wrong. An Irish poet did write some verse that would properly sort of voice my feelings on the 12 pick to the Niners from Brendan Ayuk. And it's from William Butler Yeats, Nobel Prize winning poet, who wrote in his poem Second Coming, "This, remember, is how I would feel if we traded away the 12 pick for a wide receiver. Things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world, the blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is lost. That's how I would feel if we traded away the 12th pick for a wide receiver."
That's W.B. Yeats, obviously a gifted poet. I think that's a nice summation there of your feelings.
He must have been an early Denver Broncos fan, Colm, even before the franchise existed. He must have known that it was going to come, because that poem fully, I think, really echoes how we feel about things are going in the last couple of years.
I would say that there is our search for a QB reminds me, there's a poet called Padraic Cullum. Because my name can also be a surname in these parts, and he has a poem called "An Old Woman of the Roads." And in that it begins, "Oh, to have a little house, to own the hearth and stool and all, the heaped up sods upon the fire, the pile of turf against the wall." And that is the Broncos fans longing for a QB of our own. A little house, a QB under center.
Well, Jesus.
So the Irish poetry.
It's going to be a very long off season. My God, We're gonna have to go to the real depths. Apparently, we could be going to like Paradise Lost and stuff if the Broncos screw up the draft in a few weeks' time. You know, Milton, you really go hard and dark.
Oh, it could be potentially. Who knows? You mentioned just as we were about to hit record that you had a Jerry Jeudy stat for me.
Yeah. So as we realized, Jerry Jeudy was traded for, a couple of beans and the equivalent of, you know, some jerseys to the Browns, or was it fifth and sixth? And then the Browns immediately went out and gave him a massive extension, which was, I think, $42 million guaranteed. Was it a 3-year deal? So somebody that I gave up to start, which was great, was kind of going, this is a prime example of betting on potential, because Jerry Jeudy has 11 career touchdowns in the NFL, which is one more than Mike Evans has 1,000 yards receiving. Mike Evans has 10 1,000-yard receiving seasons. Jerry Jeudy has 11 touchdowns. So good old Cleveland. You know, there's betting a potential, and then there is just, you know, not being able to get out of your own way. So massive money spent in Cleveland on some questionable players / questionable personalities. I'm not saying Jerry Jeudy is a questionable personality, but he is certainly a questionable NFL player.
I think the Mike Evans deal was what was it? Was it for it's kind of $41 million? Was $29 million guaranteed? And so you're essentially saying kind of $15 million a year guaranteed, Jeudy. With a lot more than that. I think just that a very, very rich contract for the production we've seen. But this is what the Browns have done in recent times. Now, look, they've been competitive. They've gone to the playoffs a lot more recently than we have. But they have really struggled to get good wide receiver play. They've tried doing different things with it, but it hasn't really worked. And I think that is, again, it's the guarantees that you look at for these things. Because I know when Evans' contract was announced, it was like a $52 million contract. But there's so many caveats in that. So it is the guaranteed money that you need to look at. Look, I think in ways, kudos to the for any player, right? The owners, this is a multi-billion dollar league. It's in essence, it's a license to print money, because unlike the soccer leagues in this side of the world, there is no relegation. So you know every single year, there's also a cap. So you know what your spend is. You know you are, you know, no matter how bad you're going to be playing the games next year. There is sure a minimum spend, but that you more than cover that from the TV deals. So I think the players are 100% deserving of everything they get, given what they have to put themselves through. But the reality is that there is a cap system. You can only give so much to so many with the way the league is currently set up. And that seems an enormous amount of money to give to Jerry Jeudy for the Browns. Stuart, was there anything else that caught your eye before we wrap up this week's episode?
The Denver Broncos have the fourth highest odds to win the Super Bowl, according to bookmakers next year, Colm. And the other teams that are below us at present are the Tennessee Titans, the New England Patriots, and the Carolina Panthers. Cardinals, who I just effectively took the mick out of earlier on in the program, the Raiders, the Giants, and the Commanders are all ahead of us as we speak. So not a huge amount of love or belief in the Broncos going into the next into the new season. Just in case you were wondering what the national sort of NFL family, or you know, the bookies associated with it think of the Broncos odds. So no, nothing. I mean, I think that just to me, Colm, sort of speaks volumes as to where we are now. I know it's because we don't have a a viable quarterback, but I can't imagine a rookie QB is going to change those odds too much. So, you know, this is what a rebuild looks like, Colm. You know, we are right down the bottom at the moment, and you know, it's going to be a long road to get back there. That road that old lady spoke about, that house earlier on. By God, are we on that road? And it's a long, bleak, grey road, and the weather is not great. But no, the only other thing is we had another player at the last minute change their mind. Justin Strnad was off to the Panthers, I think, having already nabbed one of our inside linebackers. They were after another one. Justin Strnad has not really been particularly effective on defense for the team, Colm, but he is an extremely accomplished special teams player, and in fairness, one of the few units in the team that improved markedly last year was the special teams unit, so credit where credit's due. So Strnad coming back, I think, will help that. You know, that's the second player after Will Lutz, who changed his mind at the last minute. So Justin Strnad changing his mind and choosing the Broncos over the Panthers is about as dramatic as it gets for us right now. But hey, at least, you know, he's back, and he is all things aside, he is a good special teams contributor. So it's good to have him back, because the last thing we need is the special teams unit reverting to previous levels of incompetence that they'd had in the past. So at least it looks like that's going to be solid enough.
It is funny that, you know, there have there've been the change of minds, like two of them. You sometimes see it happen. You occasionally see it happen, but for it to happen twice to the same team in the same free agency period, it's interesting to me. I'd love to know what was the story behind it. Like, how did they allow? I suppose. Or was it? Did they not make a high enough offer initially? Was it a chat with Sean Payton? Why did it take another team coming in for them to value that player? So, yeah, it's look. I agree in terms of the special teams. Truly, that was an area that did improve, but from a floor that was somewhere in the depths of Hades, I think, because we really were. You had Tom McMahon, and I will mention it. I've mentioned it before. I will continue to mention it. The man responsible for the worst play in American football history was somehow the Broncos decided that's the guy. That's the guy we want to run things. And it wasn't like that was a one-off. His special teams were consistently bad wherever he has been. We'll be back next week, where undoubtedly Stuart and I will be discussing whatever massive news has broken within 10 minutes of us hitting the stop button on this recording. You can find Stuart on Twitter at PurpleHeartTC. I'm across social media at Cullum from Cork. If you enjoy the podcast, please do rate, review and subscribe, or tell a friend. It really helps people to find us. All that remains to be said is go Broncos.
Go Broncos.